Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to your University of Southern Maine, Engaging Youth in the CFSR and Program Improvements. At this time, all participants will be in an interactive mode. If at any time you do not have a self-muting feature on your phone and you wish to mute yourself, you may do so by pressing star 6. To unmute, simply press star 6 again. If you need any operator assistance, you can press star then 0 and an operator will assist you. And as a reminder, this conference is being recorded. And now it's my pleasure to announce your host, Mary O'Brien.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. This is Mary O'Brien from the National Child Welfare Resource Center for Organizational Improvement. I want to welcome everyone to today's call on engaging youth in the CFSR and program improvements. This call is jointly sponsored by the National Child Welfare Resource Center for Organizational Improvement and the National Child Welfare Resource Center for Youth Development. We have a great group of presenters that I'm going to turn this over to in just a minute. Just a reminder about what the operator said. We do like to keep the lines open and interactive because that way people can speak up and ask questions during the call and it can be interactive. But we have had some trouble with noise on the line, so we really want to urge you to use that mute feature. If you don't have a mute feature on your phone, just push star 6. You'll be muted. Push star 6 to speak or to talk. That would be really helpful. We wanted to remind everyone that there are some handouts for this call that are up on the Organizational Improvement website. The link to the handouts was in the email that you got with the call-in information. In case you don't have that and you might be at your computer, I want to give you that website. It's www.nrcoi, as in National Resource Center for Organizational Improvement, nrcoi.org. If you look under teleconferences on June 14th, the handouts for today's call, an agenda and contact information for the presenters, and a PowerPoint and a PDF file that the presenters will be referring to is on that website. Okay, with that background, I'm going to turn the call over to Marty Zanghi and to our group of presenters.
Thank you, Mary. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Marty Zanghi of the Muskie School of Public Service at the University of Southern Maine. And we actually have three other presenters on the line today, and they're going to introduce themselves in a moment. One of the presenters who is on the agenda, Penthea Burns, is unable to be with us today. But if possible, I'd like to turn it over to Dorothy, Clay, and then JJ.
Okay, this is Dorothy Ansell. I'm with the National Resource Center for Youth Development at the University of Oklahoma.
This is Clay Fink. I am with the National Child Welfare Resource Center of Youth Development in Oklahoma as well.
Hello, my name is JJ Hitch. I'm a former foster youth, and I'm representing Foster Club today.
Thank you all. A little bit about our process today. Mary said earlier that we really do want it to be interactive, and I'm sure some of you have participated on teleconferences in the past. It's a little different than actually being face-to-face in a workshop, but we really want to try to make it interactive. And in trying to do so, what we're going to do is I'm going to run through the agenda in a moment, and we're going to break it down into different components, different sections. And at the end of each section, we will ask that if participants have comments, questions, or discussion, that they do so at that point in time. So I will make sure that, for example, after JJ does his piece, I will pause and ask if anybody is interested in asking questions and following up on some of the things that JJ says. So that's part of what we'll try to do throughout the 90-minute call. Once again, the purpose of this call is to really look at some of the strategies of involving and effectively engaging young people presently or formerly in the child welfare system in this round of the federal review process. How to get them to be involved as collaborative partners and get their input and their involvement and engagement in the self-assessment, the site review, the PIP, or the program improvement plan process, and some of the ongoing work that states will be doing. Mary mentioned earlier, hopefully you all have access to the handouts or the products, and those would really include a PowerPoint that JJ is going to be talking about from Foster Club, the agenda, and the actual toolkit itself, which I just want to remind you is still in draft form, and I'll update you a little later on about the how that product is going to be available to states in a paper as well as an electronic online version. So with that said, I want to go through the agenda right now, which I hope you actually have copies of. But if you're looking at the agenda, you'll see that I just did the overview and review of our call. I'm going to talk very briefly about the history of this project and how the two resource centers have come together. And Dottie is then going to talk and get a little input from you as to what's actually going on. What are some of your experiences to date regarding youth engagement and the federal review process? And then JJ is really going to do a wonderful PowerPoint presentation on youth perspective and really talk about engaging youth in the CFSR process. And then towards the latter end of the call, we're going to really get into the toolkit itself. I'm going to briefly run through the toolkit and its structure, and then Clay is going to talk a little bit about how the product came to be, how it's being utilized presently, and how states might be able to use it in the coming second round. Dottie is then going to go over a checklist, which is an important component on page 29 of the toolkit. And then we have time at the end to talk a little bit about any questions and ideas you have and talk about how technical assistance is available to the states. So to model our interactive process here, I'm going to pause and see if anyone might have questions about the agenda and what I just said. And if I don't hear from anyone, then I will proceed. But are there any questions about the agenda that I just set forth? Okay. Hearing none, then I'm going to move on then. And I want to talk very, very briefly about the history of how this came to be. But basically, the National Child Welfare Resource Center for Organizational Improvement and the National Child Welfare Resource Center for Youth Development at the University of Oklahoma have really worked collaboratively for over 10 years now. We have worked on different products, some work funded by the Annie E. Casey Foundation around looking at the promising practices of independent living and TLP programs, as well as promising practices of foster families as it relates to youth in transition. In addition, we've also done a lot of work together around youth leadership development activities and have come together around doing curriculum development through ACFS in the past. Probably a couple years ago, about a year ago, when it became very clear from the federal office that engaging the three key populations of stakeholders, along with the general stakeholders, the courts, the tribes, and the youth, that we saw that there was an opportunity here to develop a toolkit to actually help states engage young adults, presently or formerly in the system, in the next round of the federal reviews. So we came together and decided that this was an opportunity, and that's how this product came to be. Our intention is to make this product available in a paper version, not too many copies actually, because we see it as an interactive tool or product that will be changing over time and will be housed primarily on the National Resource Center for Youth Development's website, and it will be updated and periodically changed regarding the forms and needs that the field actually expresses. And it will also be posted on the Organizational Improvement website, too. So there will be electronic and a paper version. So that's a little bit about the history of our work together. I don't know, Dottie, if you want to add anything there, but that's a very brief overview.
No, I think you did a good job with that, Marty.
Okay.
I would like to, this is the part of the agenda where I would be asking people to raise their hands, but that won't work. So I do want to find out, though, who we have on the line. It did sound like we had a nice number of folks who had dialed in today, but I really would like for you to unmute for a minute and let us know a little bit about who we have on the line. I know that there were a lot of the independent living coordinators who had registered for this event. Are some of you out there and on the line, and can you tell me who you are?
This is Kim Peck from Illinois.
Hi, Kim. Good to hear from you.
Chris Lemsky, Wisconsin.
Hi.
This is Candace from Texas.
Okay.
Hi, this is Tammy in Tennessee.
Okay.
Alaska is here.
Oh, very good. Alaska, great. Now, I know that there are probably others out there, but...
New Hampshire's here.
Okay. How many of you are right now beginning to plan for your youth involvement in the next round of CFSR? Because that's part of what we want to find out. Who's already beginning to do something?
Pennsylvania is.
Okay, great.
Texas is.
Texas is?
Yep.
Okay.
Montana.
Okay.
Alaska is.
Okay. So we have a lot of folks who are really already getting ready for their next round of reviews. I also want to find out, because you're not doing this by yourself. You have access to the young people in your state, but this truly is a team process. So do we have any CFSR coordinators on the line?
Yes, this is Gwen Harris and Joan Van Hall from Ohio.
Okay, great. And when is your review scheduled?
2008.
Okay, so you've got a little bit of time, but one thing that we learned at a meeting that we went to earlier this year that you need to start right away because it takes a while. Any other CFSR coordinators on the line?
This is Gail from Montana.
Okay, hi, Gail.
Hi. Julie Shores from Texas.
Okay, very good.
Stephanie from Pennsylvania.
Super.
Alaska has one individual serving both right now because both of them are gone, and I'm... in for both of them.
In for both of them. Okay, well then, good. The right brain can talk to the left brain, and you'll be in great shape. I also know that we had some universities that had signed up for this conference. Are there any universities out there?
University of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Okay, very good. And you've got your Pennsylvania team there as well, so that's super. Some private agencies. We saw a listing from the list. It looked like there were some private agencies and some county agencies that were on the line.
Rachel Wilson, Orange County Youth Bureau in New York.
Okay, great.
Don Todgen from Casey Family Services in Maine.
Okay, great. That's great. And we also know, because I went through the list and saw there's some regional office folks. Tina, are you out there? No. Tina Miner was in our workshop that we completed, the four of us, just in the month of May, and provided us with some great insight into how we might work more collaboratively with the regional office. Are there other regional office folks on the line? Okay. And I think there might even be some folks from the Children's Bureau on the line.
Dottie, just so you do know, there are some regional offices on the line. This is Region 9.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. All right. Well, this is helpful. This is, I think, very helpful for us to know who is on the line, and that many of you have already started your planning, which is excellent, because the earlier that you can begin that process, the greater the likelihood is that young people will be able to fully participate in this process. And that is what this toolkit is really intended to do. And JJ is going to explain more in his presentation about some of the things that we need to pay attention to as we begin to work with young people and get them involved. Back to you, Marty.
Thank you, Dottie. Before we turn it over to JJ, and he's going to have a PowerPoint that hopefully you all have access to, I just want to draw your attention on the www.nrcoi.org. website, the Organizational Improvements website. In the spring 2007 issue of Child Welfare Matters, it's the newsletter, and if you go to that homepage, you'll see Child Welfare Matters. The whole newsletter is dedicated to the second round of the Child and Family Service reviews. And what's really kind of, I think, exciting about that issue is there's an interview with Jerry Milner of the Children's Bureau. And in the workshop that Dottie talked about that we did last May in Minnesota, there are a couple of things that really stuck out for me in the interview with Jerry. And first of all, for two major points. One is that, you know, he really emphasized the importance that the next round of the reviews is really about building stronger systems and achieving better outcomes for children and families that are served. And that was, you know, one of the major overarching purposes is to really recognize that that is the purpose, and that this round, unlike the first round, is more evaluative and less descriptive. And I'm sure many of you have already begun to recognize that looking at some of the new requirements and data elements. The other piece that Jerry mentioned in the interview is the importance of stakeholder involvement, and mentions that they really want to see fully engaged stakeholders in very meaningful ways. And I think that's a really important point. And again, the emphasis is stakeholders is very broadly defined, but we know that this round that there's major emphasis on the courts, the tribes, and the youth. And again, the emphasis here is for us to talk about how we, as the states, engage youth in every aspect of the federal review process. And we actually do believe that it's very very possible to have them involved in meaningful and fully engaged ways. So I would encourage you to go look at that spring 2007 issue of Child Welfare Matters. With that said, I'm now going to turn it over to JJ, who, as he mentioned earlier, is with Foster Club. And I actually think he's down in the congressional halls as we speak. And he's going to on his cell phone, run us through a excellent PowerPoint that Foster Club did with the Resource Center for Youth Development at some of the regional meetings that were conducted earlier in the spring of this year. JJ?
Well, thank you very much, Marty. Like you said, my name is JJ Hitch. I'm just going to give you guys a little bit of background information and ask you why I'm doing that to pull up the PowerPoint, if you could, if it's available to you. My name is JJ Hitch. I'm 20 years old. I spent 4 years in foster care with my three younger siblings. I live with my grandparents back home in Michigan. We all got placed there with them. We all got adopted by them. Excellent placement. Currently, I'm in Washington, D.C., in the Dirksen Building, one of the vacant rooms that I hope nobody comes into while I'm doing the presentation. I go to school at Oakland University back home in Michigan, study public administration and policy, and obviously I want to be a politician. I'm right on my way to do that. I'm involved with a youth board back home through the Michigan Youth Opportunities Initiative. And I have the privilege of being on this phone call here and today with you guys because of Foster Club, which is an excellent resource for youth and involvement. So if we want to look at the PowerPoint, now we're talking today about positively engaging youth in the CFSR and program improvements. There's several benefits to engaging the youth in the CFSR process. We'll start with the youth or unique perspective. And for this presentation, I would kind of like to change a reference point. Instead of youth, for the sake of this presentation, I'd kind of like to look at us as the experts because we've been through the system and we know exactly what works and what doesn't work. We're the best resource that you guys have to describe and work with you on how the services can be improved, what system changes need to be placed, how things work and how things do not work. I mean, it's easy to say what we need, but oftentimes the goal is good, but it needs to be tweaked just a little bit to cater to the needs of the people it's serving. We're opportunities for new strategies. We bring a fresh perspective to the table, non-biased views on what should and should not be implemented, what needs to be done, because we don't have any sort of career built in the system, and we kind of don't have an investment with a 401k or anything like that. So we're more apt to take risks, if you will. and it's also a huge empowerment piece for any youth who's able to create changes. I know when I went through the system, I felt very powerless. I didn't feel like I was in control of my life, and I didn't feel as though I could do anything about that. But doing things like this, it helps me create changes, and I know these changes are obviously not going to be for myself. It's going to be for people who unfortunately have to go into the system behind me and follow in those footsteps. And I just want to, if I can help them and make one person's experience better than mine, then I've done my job. We're also the best people to speak on behalf of the agency. Speaking to youth or to caseworkers or anybody, I want to share a brief story with you guys. In Michigan, we have these. We have this fund. It's called Youth in Transition Fund. It's basically available for anybody who's transitioning out of foster care and into adulthood. We can spend money anything from tutoring services to cap and gown senior year. It bought me my laptop and it helped me out with my car. And until the youth board was created, the year before the youth board was created, there was out of $63,000 in funds, there was about $20,000 we're giving back to the government. And last year, because our outreach to the youth and just getting out there in the community, we actually had to borrow YIT funds from other counties. And this current fiscal year, we got an additional $10,000 for our youth fund, our youth in transition funds, just because youth are more receptive to other youth. Foster parents listen to us more. Caseworkers listen to us more for whatever reason, maybe because we're that going back to that experts piece. It's really helpful. To the next slide.
Yeah.
Engaging youth in the CFSR process. The state child welfare agencies engage undergraduates and graduates of the foster care system. It doesn't matter if they're currently in care or post-care. We still know how it works, and we're still the best to consult. We can do that by collaborating with existing youth organizations such as state, local, or regional youth boards, Governor's Youth Council, transitional living programs, state and local children's advocacy centers. There's tons of resources out there, and they're pretty easy to access, too. And there's youth who are already doing this and would love to continue doing this. We just need to be provided the opportunity to do that. And going to the next slide. Marty, I'm sorry. I'm not leaving any room for questions.
No, we'll actually do that after your section. So you keep going. You're doing absolutely wonderful.
Okay. So I'm on the slide with statewide assessment. Identifying existing statewide youth organizations willing to assist with youth engagement. Like I said, we're not asking to create anything new. Just work collaboratively with those who are already working in child welfare system, already advocating on their own, and there's plenty of us out there. You can work with your state and local foster youth buds person. It's a good idea. This excellent source to identify youth who are already pursuing this on their own and are eager to be put in positions and given opportunities to just take it to the next level, such as, you know, I've been given this opportunity on a national level to kind of educate you all with the CFSR process and youth involvement. And I know there's tons of other people, other youth, other experts just in line behind me just waiting for the opportunity. We also would like to train staff to work collaboratively with the youth. It's kind of new to this process. There's like this transition process that needs to take place. Because you all are paid to do what you do, and it's your job to know like the ins and outs of the system and things like that. And a lot of times youth only know the receiving part of the services. We don't know behind the scenes work that goes on. So you're going to have to train some staff to take it down a notch. The next slide, the on-site review. Prepping youth to participate, just like I said, to bring the adults down a notch, we also want to prep the youth to take it up a notch. I mean, we're not asking for one person to do all the work here. We want a collaborative effort on both parties to find some common ground and put an equal effort into this process. stakeholder interviews. In a perfect world, I wouldn't be making this phone call. You guys would all be unemployed because no youth would be in the system. But, I mean, there are people who have to go into the system, and because they're there, they receive these services, and that's why I really consider the youth in this particular context as the experts, because we were, my whole transition into adulthood was provided by the United States government, and by receiving those services, I am the best person to talk to about how to improve them. I mean, if you think about it, any large corporation like McDonald's, Burger King, anything like that, they do not change any of their products or put another product out there on the market without going to their customers first, the people they serve first. And I really think that's the overall message we're trying to convey here today is use the experts, use the people who are going to go into this process and use the services and bring them to the table. I also like to invite the youth to State Exits Conference. We just want to be involved in every single aspect in a positive way. We're not just putting the table in the beginning for ideas and to look like this token youth, quote unquote, because that's not what we want. We want to be here. We want to put forth an effort. We want to work towards that common goal together, step by step, all the way, not just in the beginning, not just in the middle, not just in the end, the entire way. Going to the next line, the program improvement plans. We want to include the youth or the experts in the PIP team and work groups. Going back to the whole expert thing, it's just we know the ins and outs of the system. We also want to invite youth from the Chafee State Plan to participate in the PIP to address like overlapping areas of improvements. We don't want to waste any resources here. We want to make sure we got broad spectrum and way this, at least in Michigan, we have an $800 million deficit in the budget right now. So, first programs to get cut are the ones that serve the public, the state-run programs, and we're really feeling it. So we definitely want to be frugal with our resources and make sure that we're not wasting anything. We also want to engage in reviewing the PIP progress quarterly. This is huge. If we just bring the experts to the table to help us with the initial process, if something doesn't work, which can happen, there's ideas and bad ideas, and the only way to distinguish the two are trying them out. If we find those errors soon enough, we can cut back on wasted time, wasted effort, wasted money, as opposed to just creating a new problem. We don't want to be doing that here. Moving to the next slide, putting youth in the game, things to consider. And these next two slides are huge. This is all the details about what you're going to need to know about bringing youth to the table. First and foremost is scheduling. I know when I started really getting involved in just advocacy work in general, speaking to Rotary clubs and doing different kinds of outreaches in my community back home, I was a senior in high school. So I'm in school, 5 days a week for 8 hours a day. And, the Rotary clubs meet in the middle of the afternoon, things like that, starting out on that level. But we're talking about on a federal level. You all work Monday through Friday. Used to be in high school, college. I know I balance a full-time job, full-time student, full-time advocate, and I'm trying to have a social life, and that's a lot of balancing to do. And you just got to kind of be sensitive to those scheduling issues. Obviously, school is first and foremost important in youth life right now. We want to change those outcomes around. We don't want to be sending a mixed message of, come here and be part of this program improvement plan or be part of this reform and, you can miss a class or two because we need you now. We definitely don't want to be, hypocrites what we're saying. Transportation and logistics. This is another one. When I was new to this whole stuff, driving in places I didn't know, it was difficult. I'm not good. I have a horrible sense of direction. And with logistics, getting to certain areas or checking into a hotel, you know, those things can be difficult and new for a youth. I mean, if you think about it, we all started out somewhere, and well, we just got to keep that in mind and don't have the expectations set too high for the youth. Moving on to compensation, I just want to say that compensation doesn't always have to be money. It could be a letter of recommendation. I get those all the time. A reference on a job application, simply creating a certificate for them, like awarding them with some sort of certificate for their time that they're giving up and taking out of their busy schedule, and we can help build their resumes while they're doing this work as if it were like a part-time job. That would be wonderful, and that's going to help them further in the long run to change those overall, well, we all know, the bad outcomes that are projected for the youth. We want to try to reverse those, and we can actually kill two birds with one stone by doing that. Moving on to other money issues, there's things like checking into a hotel. Most of the times you're going to either have to put down cash or check in with a credit card. Some people don't have checking accounts. College students don't always have a lot of cash floating around. And those things should be taken into consideration. Another big thing here is my experience with reimbursements. I never knew that if I put forth the money to go do something, it could take up to like 6 or 8 months to be reimbursed for those expenses. And I'm a college student, so like, I don't have a bunch of money just lying around, and I oftentimes don't have a lot of time to wait on that money to come back. So if at all possible, per diems are the way to go, and just get the money up front if possible. And I've even worked with some people, not saying you have to do this, but who pay for things for me. They just wait for the reimbursements because they're professionals. They have source of income. I mean, they're stable in their life, and you know, we're just starting out. Moving on to the next bullet point, staffing. This is a little bit going back to we want to bring the adults down a level. And just maybe run by some general things to make the staffer be aware, like kind of bring a chaperone staffer, you know, kind of like when you start your first day at a new job, you have somebody who kind of trains the people and all the stations and things like that. I know when I worked at McDonald's, I was a certified trainer, so I'd train people how to drop the fries, how to take orders and drive through, how to make the sandwiches and stuff. And just somebody who's there, who's friendly, who's personable, who can offer support, answer any questions they might have, and just kind of make them feel comfortable in this transitioning process into this whole new ballpark. And this goes hand in hand with the – hold on one second. Excuse me. This goes hand-in-hand with the next bullet point, professionalism. We're talking about youth here who, you all know the system, don't have a lot of opportunity to dress up and be in business clothes and attend different sorts of meetings and things like that. So you want to keep that in mind and maybe just kind of outline a regular business meeting for them before they come to the table, because you don't want them to be intimidated and withdraw from the involvement piece. You don't want to make them feel uncomfortable or anything like that. Professionalism isn't just limited to clothes. It's how they carry themselves around in the business world, how they interact with other people. Maybe like letting them know about handshakes and eye contact and all those business needs. And the last point is finding the best use of skills. I've come across people who are excellent
excellent motivational speakers who can just speak to large crowds and just get them all revved up, ready to go, very excited about what they're about to do. And those same people cannot talk to a group of five people for the life of them. They just work with better crowds. They're more energetic. They can feed off the crowd better. Some people are better at those intimate training sessions and speaking to smaller groups of people. Maybe it makes them feel a little bit more comfortable, less nervous. But we just want to kind of make sure we're finding the best spot for the youth. If a youth is comfortable with telling their story to a small group of people, you should probably bring them to the table with the big wigs so they could just share their story. If there's somebody who can share their story with hundreds of people, bring them to a rally type deal to get people moving. And you just really want to make sure that we're engaging them in the way that's going to benefit their needs. Moving on to the next slide, rules for play. This goes with anything. We need to know the rules before we go to the game. We can't be expected. A basketball player cannot be expected, you know, to play in a game if they just shoot around by themselves. If they're good at three-pointers all day long, and then you say, oh, come play in this game and shoot three-pointers for me, and they don't know about rules like traveling or double dribble or things like that, they're going to not feel comfortable playing in a game. They're going to look bad. They're going to be self-conscious. And we want to make sure that the youth know the expectations of where they're supposed to be, and they need to know the rules of this whole new ballpark that they're playing in. Next point, no practice, no play. This is kind of a no-brainer. You can't put somebody in a basketball game when they don't come to practice every week. I mean, you don't want to put a youth in front of a group of 500 people if they haven't practiced in front of five people. I mean, really, it's just make sure they're comfortable, build them up. Next point, defense is just as important as offense. When you bring youth to the table, it's very easy for any of us to go off and just criticize the system and say these are all the problems and, you know, this went wrong. But that should not be the main focus 100% of the time. We also want to do the flip side and say, okay, this didn't work out for you. I'm sorry. But what changes do you think that could be made in order to make it better? Is there something we could do? Is there something you could do? Is there something we can create? I know right now, back home in my state, we're working on TDMs, team decision-making meetings. And when any youth is going to change placements, we're creating some sort of outline as a youth board to make the youth feel comfortable and kind of explain the meetings and explain what's going to happen, what got them here, what is going to be the end results because of this meeting. So we really want just offense, defense, both huge parts of any sort of game. And we really need to keep that in mind when we bring them to the table. Like we don't only want to know what areas we need to improve, but how to improve them as well. We also know that fouls are going to happen. Nobody's perfect, and people mess up all the time. It just happens. We're human. Next bullet point is go to the date. And this is huge. When I worked with Foster Club last summer, we went to team conferences. I traveled and spoke from New York to San Diego, all over the country, all over all sorts of conferences, to youth, to adults, to state workers, federal workers. And after every single night we spoke, later on, after everything wrapped up, we had this debriefing, and it was just an open discussion on how the day went, what worked, what didn't work, what should we do again, what should we change for next time, what was effective. And those help not only make me comfortable, but reassure that I'm doing the right thing, because it's a new process. And we want to make sure that we're not messing up and we're not doing the wrong things. A lot of times we feel like all eyes are on us up there and things like that. So we just kind of need that little confidence boost too. Even when we did the presentation back in Minnesota, just here in May, we all afterwards, you know, a little 5-minute group meeting, and there was, you know, reviews that were hanging out, and Clay was like, here, check out the reviews, and, you know, you did well. And so it's just, it makes the experience a little bit more comfortable and reassure that we're on the right track. To the next bullet point, to play the injured. And if a basketball player sprains his ankle or breaks his leg, you're not going to expect him to get out there and go run full sprints back and forth in the game. You don't expect them to participate in the practices. And if a youth gets up there and they're telling their story or sharing something about themselves and they have an emotional breakdown, they're going to need some time to readjust and reassess what they should share, what they're comfortable with sharing, what they're not comfortable with sharing. I mean, sometimes I get up there and I think I can just, you know, I'm fine with my whole story. I can talk about anything and everything. And I get up there and I share something and it just, like, pulls on a string. And it's just like, oh, I get all choked up and I start, you know, getting all teary-eyed. And, you know, nobody wants to lose it in front of, you know, any strangers, but let alone, you know, the whole audience. I mean, that's a traumatic experience, and we don't need any more of that. Next bullet point, it's no fun sitting on the bench. And this is, if you don't take anything else, this is probably one of the most important things. We don't want to bring youth to the table and ask them for their ideas and tell them they're going to be involved with this process and you're going to help them make change and let them down. And they'll just sit on the benches during the game and watch it all go on from the sidelines. And we've been disappointed enough in our lives. We don't need any more disappointment. We've had a lifetime full of disappointment already. So that will really put our youth back a lot emotionally. It's sort of that whole, I can't put trust in you guys, you guys being adults, and it's hard for me to open up, and I'm trying to do this, and then you say one thing and do another, and it's just bad. And the last bullet point on this page is communicate success. A lot of times, I really don't know if I'm doing well or not, and shared this every time I've done the presentation, that it's hard to realize if we're on the right track, if we're not, if we're doing well, if we're not doing well. And a lot of times, I mean, it could be blatantly obvious to you all, but on this end, I have no idea if I did well. I don't know if you guys were receptive. I don't know if I shared too much, not enough. And you really want to communicate success and encouragement whenever you can, before and after the process. You know, I know you're going to do a great job. You know, get out there and do your best. And afterwards, like, that was awesome. I love this part. I love this part. And just communicate with that with them so they know what's going on. Going to the next slide, we have some web resources for you guys. The first is the California Youth Connection. And this is an excellent example of youth involvement. They actually, their organization, they hire full-time former foster youth to run their facilities, run anything they do. It's with former foster youth. They kind of have this slogan, nothing about us without us. And that has carried its way all the way here to the Capitol. Congress asks them and consults them all the time on any sort of legislation, any sort of anything, because they realize that it's important to contact the experts when you're going to do something. The Youth Leadership Advisory Team in Maine, I've seen these people pretty much at every single conference I've been at. Awesome group of people really innovative ideas, they're outside the box and with their stuff, and it's just audiences are so receptive. Other youth are so – I'm so intrigued when I see this group of people up on stage and the way they share their stories, completely different than mine and just as effective. It's just a different way, an excellent model. And then, as always, Foster Club, we're awesome. I just had to throw that out there. Celeste Bogner, the executive director, she's just awesome with youth involvement. This started out as a website about 7 years ago now, and it evolved into this huge sort of youth involvement thing where we fly out there for the summer, we go around, talk to all these youth, motivate them, get them advocating in their own states, and then when we go back, everybody considers us just like, ones to talk to. I think it all kind of clicks with everybody that we're the experts, and so everybody gets involved. I mean, that's why I'm here today. And their website is just awesome. It's got a portion for youth, a portion for foster parents, caseworkers, social workers, GALs, any attorneys, foster parent trainings, a whole slew of resources. The Jim Casey Youth Opportunities Initiative, Michigan recommendations. This is what I was talking about being involved back in my home state. We actually put together a statewide task force, brought people from all of the different regions out there, from all the different youth boards, brought them to one table, and we said, what is the most important issues to you guys? And we listed out 14 of them, 14 or 16, ooh, I should know this, 14 or 16 of them, and submitted it to our director of DHS. She submitted it to the governor. Governor is in the process of passing them now, and it was so successful that the CYC did their own just a little bit after us. Atlanta's doing one now. I think Maine has done something similar already. We're on our second round of doing one on the 23rd or 27th of this month. We're going to do that all again. And then last but not least, I'll try to get this all in one breath. The National Child Resource Center for Youth Development, they have tools and advice on any specifics. They have contacts. They have, I guess, all this, the businessy stuff you'll need to know. It's all there on their website. The next slide, the CFSR Youth Involvement Toolkit, it's now here. It's in a draft form only because they're just waiting on it to be printed. I think that's what it was last time we talked.
Yep.
An excellent resource. You can also contact them if you want. I hope this still is up there. Marty, do you know what I'm going to say?
Yeah. We'll take care of that in a second.
All right. Well, and
that last slide, you want to tell folks who that last slide is?
That is me. So you can put a name or a face with the name.
And the voice.
Yeah, and the voice. More importantly, I guess the voice. That's my contact information if you need to contact me.
Well, JJ, before we proceed, I just want to acknowledge JJ's expertise and his very in-depth knowledge and experience and his ability to do wonderful presentations. I've had the opportunity to do this workshop with him and Dottie and Clay in Minnesota last month, and having you do this on a teleconference, I just want to tell you right now, you are very, very effective of getting the message across around why and how to get youth involved.
JJ, so we'll see you in Nationwide Politics soon.
Yeah, I really want to applaud you for that.
Thank you.
So thank you very much. You clearly could have done the teleconference without us. I want to turn it over to folks in a moment to see if you have questions. I heard JJ say a couple key things. And one, he really pointed us out to slides 7 and 8, putting youth in the game, and used a lot of metaphors as it relates to sports and basketball in particular. He really emphasized the importance of, if you're going to prepare a young person, don't stick them on the bench. Okay, let's not disrespect and not engage them in a way that is replicating the losses and the letdowns that they've experienced in the previous life. And the other thing I heard earlier on in JJ's presentation was about finding common ground for youth and adults to participate in the round, in this next round of the CFSRs. We know, as veteran child welfare workers, whether we're in the state system, the private system, the public system, that getting involved in the CFSR process is a very challenging and at times complicated, daunting experience. So what JJ is suggesting is, how do we find common ground to engage youth as stakeholders and as consumers, and how do you do it so that you're both coming to it in sharing a common experience and a common language? So again, I want to applaud what you just had to say, JJ, and I want to pause here and open up the phone lines to see if folks have comments or questions. And I would really encourage folks to see if there's some kind of questions or dialogue that you have for JJ regarding engaging youth in the next round of the CFSR. Open lines.
Hi, my name is Linda McClendon. I'm with DCFS, and I just wanted to just tell JJ he did an outstanding job. You really raised my awareness. I recently joined with the youth for a youth summit we're having here in Chicago, Illinois, and have been able to engage the youth over the last 6 weeks or more, and he gave me some wonderful ideas to pass on and gave me some food for thought for future.
Excellent.
Thank you. I want to say thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Linda.
Let's keep it going, folks. Any questions?
I had a question for JJ and then one for the central office, HHS. But my first question to JJ was, during the point in time you were in substitute care, did the agency involve you in your case plan and review of your case plan? Or was it, you know, just presented to you and or even not presented to you, I guess is my question, JJ.
To be completely honest, the only involvement I had in any of the planning or any sort of anything when I was personally in care was I had mandatory supervised visits with my biological father for the first 2.5 years. In foster care, and I was beyond that. I was never knew about any court dates, never was invited to. My caseworker and I had very limited dialogue. She came and saw us about once every 3 or 4 months, which is not obviously, I mean, we're supposed to meet once a month, but I mean, I applaud her for doing that. And those were kind of just like, how's everything going where you're at? And do you like where you're at? But as far as the behind-the-scenes work, the system stuff, being the placements with my grandparents, I had no idea. I was completely in the dark with all that stuff. So.
The second part of your question is being directed to someone from the regional or the central Children's Bureau office?
Yeah, my question was, in JJ's presentation, it suggested, you know, for the CFSR on-site review, how to work with the youth in the stakeholder interviews, and reading some other information in terms of involvement of youth in the CFSR process, there was some notation that the youth could be active participants in reviewing case records during the review. Could you address that specifically? Because I was wondering about, you know, when HHS talks about who the review team members are, they said, you know, state and federal. Do you understand my question?
Marty, I think I can answer that one. This is Dorothy Ansell. We actually do have former foster youth who have applied and have gone through the federal training and these would be folks who are a little bit older than JJ and have gone through college, have met all of the review requirements of anyone else who would be working on the federal review team. Now, I'm not sure, you know, what their schedules are like and whether they will actually be able to participate in any of the reviews because of their schedules, but we do now have young people who were former foster youth who are young professionals who are actively participating in the review as any other reviewer would, which means reading case records as well as all the other activities. What we are suggesting with the toolkit that you have in front of you, because we would encourage you to involve not just former foster youth or your older youth, but youth who are still in care. Therefore, we are not advocating that you involve them in the reading of records of young people who are still in the system.
Daddy.
However, they can participate in other activities that involve the interviews of other stakeholders, like courts, tribes, and so forth. They can be involved in just about everything else.
Somebody else wanted to say something?
Dottie, hello, everybody. This is Pam Johnson. How's everybody? I want you to know that I'm going to go on a CFSR review the last week of June, and there is a young person, one of the newly trained young people who will be a part of the team.
Excellent.
Yeah.
This is Kevin George in Oregon. I have a question on this follow-up.
Go ahead, Kevin.
And maybe for Pam or Dorothy, others, we were heading down the path that a youth on our team, trying to identify youth on our team, would be a full-fledged member of the team. And what I'm hearing now is that, no, they would not be, but they may be used for specific areas of stakeholder interviews, maybe the exit interview, that kind of work. So you're saying we should not be including them in as a regular, full-fledged member of a review team?
I think you just have to be careful about confidentiality.
In my case, the person that is the full-fledged, she is a full-fledged member of our team, but she is not from the state. She's from another, she's from another state.
Sure. Is the recommendation then that we maybe back up our plan of how we might include that youth and only use them for specific things then? Because I guess confidentiality, well, that applies to everybody that's on that review team.
Right.
So they would, be subject to the same threshold of confidentiality. It's not a different one.
And as far as an including of them, several things that JJ talked about, and I really appreciate, but everything from the training of when the feds actually come into the state to train the reviewers, to being a full-fledged reviewer, to interviewers of stakeholder groups, to being a member of a stakeholder group, to exit conferences, to ongoing work with program improvement plan, are there certain things that you would suggest or recommend? Because clearly some of these young folks aren't going to be able to be the entire week with us for the review when they come into town, as well as ongoing. Are there specific things that if we were going to target certain activities we should involve them in, you would recommend?
I would just say the program improvement plans. If you guys, obviously a week dedication is going to be a hard thing to come by, but if you guys can identify the places you need to improve and the ways about going to improve those, that's where a youth, if they're limited time and limited resources or the confidentiality is a problem, I definitely think that is one of the key sources, key places that a youth needs to be, their expertise needs to be used.
This is Marty Zanghi. I would also add that that you're going to probably want to look at a pool of youth.
Yes.
So that you're not just talking about 2, 3, 4 youth who are participating in each element of the review. You might have a group of youth that are involved in self-assessment. You might have a group that are involved in the PIP or the ongoing monitoring committee. And you might actually have backup to those youth to support them. And then the other thing that JJ made very clear is to have that adult youth partnership so that there's almost like an adult coach who's part of the review process who's working in tandem with that young person to help them in the process, because we know that it can be very challenging as adults So imagine how it feels as a young person presently or formerly in the system. So try to create, you know, ultimately you try to create a pool of young adults that are your resources for this whole process, because we all know that the process takes a while.
And the other thing you might want to consider, too, is that if you actively seek young people who have just exited your system, they may very well be available to you for an entire week.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on the time of the year that your review is scheduled, they may be between school assignments or not be in school at all, and it might very well work into their schedule. I wouldn't rule out the possibility of having young people who were full-fledged members of the team. And I think you just have to be sensitive to the confidentiality issues. But if you have a young person who has exited from foster care, and is able to work out the time frame, I think they would be a great member of the team.
And one of the things that's really important, and I think we have time for a couple more questions on this section, and then we'll move on. One of the things that's really important to recognize is that this is an opportunity for states, and again, in some places, I think Alaska, you mentioned earlier that you're both involved or in charge of your CHAFE and your CFSR, and in some places...
No, I was just saying that I was standing in for both those individuals.
For today?
Oh, okay. Yes.
In some... What we really also want to have occur through this process is that the parts of the state that are really managing and running the youth leadership elements within the CHAFE program to connect and coordinate with the CFSR coordinators, and that through that process, it will be a mechanism to get more youth involved in engagement activities. Because JJ mentioned this earlier, some youth would like to do this part of the kind of work, whether they're developing surveys or conducting surveys, where another group of youth might be very interested in sitting and doing interviews on site review process. So based on the youth's individual needs and or interest or skill sets, it will vary on how you are going to be utilizing them in the review process. I think we have time for a couple more questions on JJ's part, and then I want to move us on.
Marty, this is Clay. I still want to say, though, it's crucial to keep the entire pool of youth informed on what the other's involvement is so that they don't just see that they were involved in one little piece and then dropped.
Couldn't agree with you more.
They need to know that there's youth involvement all the way through.
You want to see the whole picture.
Yep. And one other thing that I would like to say is that from what we learned from our presentation in May, that you really have to start early. If you are the one who is advocating for youth involvement, you've got other folks in your state who are just as concerned about what this is going to mean and are reluctant to enter into something different.
And just remember that we're also talking about tribes and courts and other stakeholders being involved too. We're just taking the youth perspective here.
Sure.
Any other questions or comments?
No, this is Ebony Harris from Atlanta. We actually just finished a review, mm-hmm. and we had youth as stakeholders. They were our leadership group, as well as a youth as a reviewer. I'm not sure if the youth was from the Georgia, but they were involved, and it was very prevalent about the youth involvement piece, and I think it worked excellently.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Good for you.
This is Angel Gopinski from Michigan, and I'd just like to say to JJ, great job with this presentation today, and great job representing the youth and your home state of Michigan. I am just currently getting involved with the Michigan Youth Initiative here, and I am just amazed as a former foster parent to see the changes that are already going on, and those changes wouldn't have been made without people like JJ, the young people like JJ stepping forward, and the change is all for the best, and kudos to you for the job that you're doing, and keep up the good work.
Well, thank you very much.
With that excellent comment and 25 minutes remaining, I'm going to now move us on. And what I want to do is draw your attention to the toolkit. And, again, this is a draft version, and, JJ, you are correct. We are ready to go to the printer with this, so we will be distributing a few copies to each state, and then there will be an actual electronic version on the websites that people will be able to use as a web document. I'm going to do this real briefly, and then I'm going to turn it over to Clay and then Dottie, and then we'll finish up with some questions. But if you go to, if you're able to go to page 3, I'm just going to very, very quickly run through the table of contents and just tell you what's in it. So basically, from page 5 to page 1 to about 23, it's really about the whole concept of what we know about youth involvement. It's kind of it builds on some of the stuff JJ talked about, how the youth actually benefit, how adults benefit, and how organizations benefit. And we get this information both from the literature and from the anecdotal experiences and knowledge that we've gained over the years from the states that we've all worked with. Why do we want to involve in engaging youth in the CFSR? Who to engage? Much of the dialogue that we were just having now, we talk a little bit more about it here. We have a document called CFSR 101 that Clay's going to talk about as soon as I'm done with this. Page 24 to page 29, we really talk about preparing the adults for youth participation, because JJ made an excellent comment earlier. It's about finding that common ground. We know through the guiding principles of youth engagement and youth involvement that it takes the adult-youth partnership. It's not going to work if just the youth are coming to the table. So these pages really talk about some of the issues related to those adult-youth partnerships, attitudes and logistics, you know, some of the issues of adultism, and we even have actual tips from California Youth Connection. And then on page 29, we have a CFSR youth involvement checklist that Dottie will go over shortly. And towards the end, page 30 to 38, we really look at how to conduct surveys and how to conduct focus groups. So it's a really more of a discussion around how to do some of those kinds of develop some of those tools and conduct some of the processes. And then the ending, we really talk about some resources, and in the appendix, there's actually some sample recruitment flyers, debrief forms, and some focus and questionnaires, including a sample of a tool that some youth in Maine developed. Since I'm about to start coughing, I'm now going to turn it over to Clay, who's going to talk a little bit about CFSR and how the handbook has been utilized to date. CFSR 101.
Okay. CFSR 101 came about through our Destination Future Leadership Conference. In 2006, we were in D.C., and Destination Future had about 350 participants or so. The overall theme was youth engagement in the CFSR. However, when we do this, we break up into small groups, and I was lucky enough to have a group of 30 to 35 young people that basically focused entirely on the CFSR. And the thing about being in D.C. at the time is they then get to present their issues to a whole federal panel. So that's where this came about. The CFSR 101 was developed as a preparation, knowing that a lot of these youth coming into Destination Future were not going to have a lot of information on what the CFSR was. And that's exactly what we found out. Is when we broke into our small groups and I was talking to the youth about what it was, they had very little, minimal information about it, what it was. However, given the CFSR 101 piece, which various pieces of the CFSR 101 are scattered throughout the toolkit, but in general, the CFSR 101 was just a real down and dirty piece on what the CFSR was and what the process was. There was a flow chart involved through the each steps and how youth could be involved, and then it followed up with a whole list of acronyms. We throw out all this alphabet soup of acronyms, and youth don't always know what's going on. We don't always know what the letters mean all the time. But this was a real brief way to let inform them real quick on what the CFSR was. Within our group, we met in small groups 4 or 5 times throughout the few days that we were together. And like I said, coming into it, they had very minimal information. With this information and conversation and giving us a little bit of feedback about their questions, they became really informed on what this was. Soon they were developing and listing obstacles and possible solutions to these obstacles. Everything we could possibly think of as obstacles has gone into the toolkit. So that's really how the CFSR 101 piece came about. Where this has gone from there is I have utilized it in various workshops, gone to various states to work with youth advisory boards and talking about the CFSR process and what state involvement they can have. We've done a few focus groups for CFSR, and it's been pretty effective. As Riley mentioned, positive good thing about the federal panel is this is what had the youth that have already gone through the foster care system, as Dottie has said, and are aged out and in their professions, have been able to come back and be full-fledged federal review teams. When we were talking to the youth at Destination Future, some of the things that we really noticed was the drive that they had. They came in not knowing much at all, but there was a strong drive in trying to make the system better. Many of them talked about that it may not be better for them, but they can make a difference for the youth that are coming up in the system. One of the key components that was also listed was the emotion involved in the CFSR process. So that's one of the things I think you really have to be aware of when you're prepping youth, is that this is an emotional situation. I often tell workers and adults in their lives that this is our jobs, but it's their lives that they're going through. Many of the focus groups get rather emotional when they're discussing the issues. These are raw and pertinent issues to their lives, so there's a lot of times a lot of emotion. They even addressed some emotion with the thoughts that knowing that their files were going to be read by other people. So those are areas that you really want to be aware of and touch base on as well. We've seen some example of the drive that they have in discussion with some other states. They did. We were just excited that they had youth involved throughout the process, and they sat through days and days of meetings and subgroups. And then during the debrief, which we were still excited they did a debrief, found out that there wasn't enough preparation, and the youth didn't know what they were involved in at all. They've been in subgroups and committees and doing various things, and they didn't have a clue at the end of what they were involved in and what they were doing, but they still hung in there. Mm-hmm. That's the drive that they have. This is their lives and this is their systems, and they are really trying to make change. For time's sake, I'm not sure what else I need to be saying.
I think because of time, Clay, I'm going to move us along, and I'm going to hold off on questions for your piece and have Dottie talk about the CFSR Youth Involvement Checklist for states to consider and look at on page 29.
Okay.
And then we'll close with some general discussion and questions. So, Dottie?
Okay. And as Marty said, the second half, really, of this document is really targeted towards the adults. We know from our experience that young people are very interested in making change happen. They're committed, they're willing to come out, they're willing to spend their time, they're willing to come without any compensation at all, not even in some cases getting gas mileage. But sometimes we're not so sure about how committed the adults are in feeling comfortable in working with the youth in this kind of capacity. So what we've provided here are a number of things to use in-house to kind of begin the process of thinking through what will it mean to have young people sitting side by side with us as we go through this next round of reviews. And there are a number of pages in here that do cover that, some excellent tips from the California Youth Connection, as well as some other handouts. But I'd like to draw your attention to is page 29, because this is what I would really encourage you as a team within your state to spend some time with.
because we know that there are many of you on this call that are already on board. You're working with your young people. You're excited about the process. But there are other folks in your state who will also be involved in this process, and they may not have be so on board in terms of involving youth. It is something that is an expectation for this round of the Child and Family Service reviews, and some people may just see this as one more thing that has to be done in order to meet the requirements. So that's really the point of some of these questions. I want to just kind of go through, and as I'm going through this, I would like for you to kind of do your own checklist at this point around where you think you are and where your team is regarding preparation and readiness for active youth involvement. And the first question really speaks to that. Beyond satisfying a federal expectation, do you know why you want to involve youth in your state CFSR? I think that's a very important question to ask yourself and to ask your team. Have you talked to and determined the commitment from your state child welfare director? That will make a huge difference. If your state director is committed to this approach, then it's going to happen. If they don't care or haven't indicated, then it might not happen, or at least not to the level or to the extent that it could. Have you talked to and determined the commitment of your state team, your young people, your independent living coordinator, all the other folks, the other stakeholders? What is their level of commitment? Have you determined what model you're going to use for youth involvement? Will you simply engage youth as stakeholders, in other words, ask them their opinions, or will you invite youth to participate as team members to the fullest extent possible and work through some of those other tasks that JJ talked about? Have you and the members of your team assessed your own stereotypes about young people? I think this is one that sometimes is the most difficult for us to identify. Is what are our stereotypes? What isms do we put on this? Often young people will accuse us as not paying full attention to young people and recognizing them for all of the resources and the knowledge that they bring to the table, and often they're right. So you really have to take a hard look at what stereotypes you have about young people. Are you and members of your team open to suggestions that young people might make? Again, it's important not just to invite young people to be tokens on the state team. Young people as stakeholders, do you have a plan for recruiting youth? Do you have a plan for educating youth? You have many resources that are included in the toolkit that will help you with the education. You'll probably think of others as you go through your own review. And when you do, we want to find out what resources you're using because we want to add them to the toolkit as well. Do you have a plan or process for seeking input from young people? As Clay said, you may only have three or four young people as part of your actual process, but you have a whole state full of young people who could provide input and could benefit from hearing what the state is doing. Do you have a plan to provide youth stakeholders with follow-up information after the stakeholder meetings? Youth as team members, do you have a plan to orient youth regarding their role on the team? And I think JJ went into that into great detail, is you really do have to know the rules of the game in order to play. Do you have a plan for training young people to complete the tasks that are assigned, making sure, as Clay said, that they really understand what their role is and what their task is? And do you have a plan for arranging youth travel and for paying lodging and per diem? And that one seems like the simple, no-brainer kind of, oh, sure, we can take care of that. And we have all run into difficulty in this one, but it's very important to pay attention to those kinds of logistics details if we really want young people to be actively involved in the process. And do you have a plan for compensating youth for their time? Because their time is just as valuable as our time is. Very often they're taking time away from other work that they could be doing that would generate income. And as JJ said, they don't have a whole lot of money in their pockets as it is. So we need to look at how do we compensate them. So I would be, at this point, I think we're ready to open up the lines again, Marty, and see what people think about some of these ideas.
I agree. Folks have comments, questions, and ideas about the toolkit or any of the information that was put forth in the last 80 minutes?
I just wanted to say one quick thing. My cell phone is about to die, so if I lose you guys, I'll call you back or
get a hold of you via
email.
I have a question.
Yeah, and could you just say your name and where you're from, if you'd like?
Certainly. Kevin George, Foster Care Manager out in Oregon again. I ask a lot of questions usually. This is more around, do you know what's happening with the federal training? When they come in, they're telling us they'll be in for 2 days prior to the actual review, and we need to bring all of our stakeholders together who's going to be the review team. How is that training supported, directed? How do they take care of the youth? So if we bring youth in for that piece, are they training the youth as well at that time?
Yes. Are there any regional office? Pam, are you still on the line? Can you help with that question?
I am still on the line. What I heard was the question was how when the regional training happens. If a young person has been vetted to be a consultant reviewer, they receive the same training as the rest of the team. Now, if they're going to be involved in one discrete component, like in as a stakeholder in the stakeholder meeting, then that's the portion of the training that they would take part in.
Did I answer your question?
Pretty close. I guess I've just been listening to JJ and Dodd and everybody else talking about how we need to be more responsive, make sure we're including the youth as part of our teams, and being sensitive to that. And I'm not necessarily hearing that there's anything different in the federal training when youth are involved.
Well,
What I would suggest is you still get your youth together ahead of time and prepare them for what that training is going to be about. Going through what the acronyms are, going through what the processes are, going what their roles are going to be about. Because, no, I don't think they're going to get anything different than what the general stakeholders are going to get in that training.
Right.
And I would also suggest that you assign a coach to any of your stakeholders that are going through that training who you think might need someone to debrief with afterwards or as they're going through the training so that they can lean over and say, what does that mean? And be able to stay up with what's going on in the conversation and in the training.
I would just take this opportunity. This is Marty. At the National Resource Center, at the National Child Welfare Resource Center for Organizational Improvement, on the address that we gave you earlier, there is a whole section on the CFSR Training and Technical Assistance Package, and there are different units. You might want to take a look at that also. And that's available for being downloaded right off of that website.
Great, thank you.
Other questions, comments, ideas? Okay, hearing none, I do want to mention the technical assistance piece, and that is I just did mention through the Resource Center for Organizational Improvement, there is the TA available around states in the conducting of the CFSRs, but also the youth engagement piece is part of the Youth Development Resource Center's work, and we are pairing up together if states are interested to provide TA on how to engage youth advisory teams, boards, groups in the next in this round of the next round of the reviews. I don't know if you want to say anything about that, Dottie.
Yes, I'd also like to say that if you have some time, and some of you are at least another year or more out on your review, and you would really like to have some have your team participate in some positive youth development training, which would help you, I think, take a look at how you are engaging young people now and looking at some strategies for how you might engage them more fully in not just this process but in many things that could affect their lives, we would be very happy to come and provide that training for on-site for your team.
So,
can you repeat that?
Body?
And this information is actually in the toolkit as well. There's an inset box in the toolkit that talks about the training that we provide, but we would be happy to come and provide positive youth development training to your team And it is it's a full 2-day training, but it could be a modified if you had less time available. But what it really looks at is how do you partner successfully with young people. It helps you examine your own attitudes and beliefs about working with young people as partners, and is a foundation course that we provide when we go out in the field to work with the youth development folks.
So I have on my clock that we're 2 minutes away from 4 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, so I'd love to start and stop on time. So I think we are done, and I think at this point I want to throw it back to Mary O'Brien to see if there's anything we need to do to wrap up. Mary?
She's gone.
Okay, Mary's gone. Then I – Mary?
If she is gone, Marty, she suggested about the evaluation that there was online.
Marty?
Yes.
Yes, I'm here. I'm sorry. I was on mute.
Okay.
This is Mary. Yes, I did want to say thank you to everyone for participating. Marty, you were probably just saying that, but thank you for everyone for calling in, to Marty and Dottie and JJ and Clay for the presentations today. I wanted to mention that this is part of a series of calls we've done on engaging those key stakeholder groups in the second round of CFSRs. We had one on May 31st on state-tribal partnerships, and there's one coming up on June 26th on engaging courts and building court-agency collaboration. The call that we had today and all of our calls are recorded, and we've been putting the audio files on our website. So if, you know, in your state you think someone might benefit from hearing JJ's presentation or the description of the toolkit, you can go to the website, and the audio file will be there within a few hours. You can just click on it and listen to it. Anybody can do that at our website. We also will make a CD available if that's easier just by calling. You can get one of those for this or for other calls. We also encourage people who've been listening to fill in the evaluation form. The email that you got with the call-in information has a link for the online evaluation form, very simple, very brief. You'll also get another email probably with that link. We'd appreciate any input on the evaluation forms. We do look at those and use those to plan teleconferences that are useful to the field, and we appreciate any feedback you can give us. So I think, Marty, that's it. Unless you guys want to say anything else.
Thank you, Mary. And Dottie, Clay, and JJ, thank you all very much. And I'd like to thank all of the participants who phoned in today.
Okay, thank you. We'll see you again soon.
Ladies and gentlemen, this does conclude your conference for today. Everyone have a great day. You may now disconnect.
Thank you. Is that John?
One moment. I'll transfer you into a post-conference. One moment.
Thank you.